All right, beginning here on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. Gemara quotes from the Mishnah: Omeid al gabei kelim, al gabei beima, al gabei raglei chaviro pasul. Inalon, where do we know that all of these three items are disqualifying types of events? Which is if you're standing on top of utensils, standing on top of a behema, or you're standing on top of your friend's feet, any one of those would disqualify the avodah and also render it invalid. The Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Hoil viritzpa mikadeshet, ukli sharet mikadshim. Just like the floor of the Azara's mikadesh, so too the kli sharet are mikadshim. Ma kli sharet lo ye davar chutzeitz beno leben kli sharet. Just like when it comes to the kli sharet, you can't have anything separating between the kohen and the kli sharet. Af ritzpa lo ye davar chutzeitz beno leben ritzpa. So too, when it comes to the Ritzpah, which is also Mikadesh, you also can't have anything separating between the individual and the Ritzpah. So here are a number of things to discuss. First of all, what does it mean, Hoil v'Ritzpah Mikadeshet? What does it mean that the floor is Mikadesh? So Rashi says that is for the purposes of Lamod L'Sharet. That is, it's Mikudash for allowing the Avodah to take place, or allowing for service to take place there. Sharet David Kidshah. David was Mikadeshet, b'shtei tevdot u'b'shir shel pigaim. It should ring bells for you. That's from the Gemara in Shavuot, with regards to being Mikadesh, the ear, the city of Yerushalayim. And that already, Balei HaTosafot point out, in a perish b'kuntris, that David was Mikadeshet. He says, even though Shlomo built the Beit HaMikdash, nevertheless, David was the one who consecrated the area and the floor of the Mikdash. That's number one. And what Rashi says, the Balei Tosafot would say that it was b'shtei tevdot u'b'shir shel pigaim, ainu kein. That's incorrect. The Azara ainu mikadesh b'shtei tevdot u'b'sharei mincha. That is because the Azara is mikudash through the remainders of a mincha and not through the shtei tevdot. As opposed to the shtei tevdot that are used for the city, because the boundaries that you're allowed to eat a todah in are the walls of Yerushalayim. So if you're going to expand the area, append an area onto Kedushat Yerushalayim, you use shtei todot, which have the maximum boundary of the walls, and you use those as the new demarcators with the whole procession that was described in the Gemara in Shavuot. On the other hand, when it comes to the Azara, you pick something that is bound by the walls of the Azara, which are Kodshei Kodashim, and the Gemara says it's associated with the Mincha, not the Lechem of the todot. But rather the Mincha, because the Mincha is limited in scope to the area of the Azara, and that was what would be used to, you know, Bikadesh that area. Then the Balei Tosafot go on and say that Rashi explained that the parallel here is between Klei Sharet, which literally means Klei Sharet, which Rashi quotes as saying, Vayim Shechem Vayikadesh Otam, that he anointed them and he sanctified them. That's the proof that the Klei Sharet are Mikadesh. Whereas the Balei Tosafot take up the meaning of Klei Sharet that we've seen before, similar to what we saw back on Yud Gimel Lamed Aleph with regards to Kohen and Klei Sharet, where Rashi, even himself over there, said the Klei Sharet are referencing to Big Day Keuna. And so here the Balei Tosafot suggests maybe something similar, which is, if you look in the Balei Tosafot, the whole Beritzvah Mikadesh at Perush, Mikadeshet HaAdam Lavod Avodah Sham, that it sanctifies the individual to serve in that area, very similar to what Rashi said. It's a unique place where you can do avodah nowhere else. Klei Sharet, Perish, Big Day Kuhuna, Mikadshim Hadam, Lavod Avodah. Similarly, the Big Day Kuhuna sanctify the individual in order to perform the avodah. That's what we saw before. Zman she Big Day Maleim, Kuhuna Tamaleim. Zman she Big Day Maleim, ain't Kuhuna Tamaleim. What makes the Kohen into a Kohen is the uniform. He needs the uniform in order to be a Kohen. So the uniform is Mikadeshim into a Kohen. And just like we learned by the uniform, by the Big Day Kuna, it has to be Al Bisaro, has to be directly contacting his body. And as opposed to Rashi, who says we're speaking about Klei Sharet, literally the utensils that are used in the Mikdash, that there can't be any Hefsek or Chatzitza between the Kohen and the Klei Sharet of the Mikdash. So to over here, when it comes to the Ritzpah of the Azara, you have to be in direct contact with the Ritzpah of the Azara. If you look in the Shita Mikubetz at Odvav, he actually asks a question about the Girsu here, whether it is Mikudeshet or Mikadeshet. Is it that the Ritzpah Azara is Mikudeshet, or is it Mikadeshet? It is Mikadesh. And that might actually be the little nuanced difference between the Balei Tosafot and Rashi, where the Balei Tosafot say that it's Mikadeshet at Adam Labod Shama. that the Ritzpa is mikadesh the person to work there and imbues him with the ability to do the avodah. As Rashi says, it's Ritzpa mikudeshet, which is lamod l'sharet, that is the place of service. It is mikudash, and therefore service must be done there. And then that's actually how the Rashas explains the difference in their view with regards to what it is that we're comparing to in Kli Sharet. Rashi says the same thing, that Kli Sharet are mikudashim, that they are sanctified. Just like the Kli Sharet is sanctified, and therefore the Kohen has to be in direct contact with it, so too the Ritzpat Azara. But the Baal HaTosfot will say that it is mikadesh, the Ritzpah, then you can't speak about the Kli Sharet being mikadesh, about the Kohen's hands. It will be mikadesh, that which is inside of it. And therefore he opts for the other interpretation, which is the mikadesh is referring to the big day kuna, which are mikadesh, the individual. And in that way, now they are consistent that Rashi says it's all about mikudeshet, whether it's the floor or the kli sharet. And those would say it's all about being mikadesh, whether it's the floor or the big day kuna. And that leads Tosafot off to a sidebar about what's called the kicha ayadei davar acher. When you pick something up using some sort of intermediary, is that considered to be l'kicha or not? It says from our Gemara, sounds like l'kicha yedei davar acher, lo shma l'kicha. That's not called l'kicha. You need to be directly in contact with the klei sharet. Otherwise, it's not considered to be l'kicha. That the Gemara in Perek Lulav HaGozel says that if you put a cloth around a lulav, you can pick it up. And l'kicha yedei davar acher, shma l'kicha. If you pick up your lulav, pick up your hetrog using some other mechanism, it is called a l'kicha. The Baal HaTosfot want to reconcile between those two. He says it makes a difference as to what the covering is. He says this in Sukkah as well, which is that if you're wearing gloves, that's not l'kicha yedei davar acher, that's called a hefsik, or a chatzitza. That's something that sits between you and the object you're trying to take. The other hand, if you wrap a handkerchief around the lulav, that's considered to be a l'kicha yedei davar acher, that is shma l'kicha, because that's a handle. That becomes a beit yad. So when it's a beit yad, when it becomes a handle to the object, then l'kicha yedei davar acher, shma l'kicha. When it is that the object that is there, is surrounding your hands, is there for the protection of your hands, whatever the reason is, it's no longer a handle, then it's a chatzitza, there's a problem with l'kicha, because it's not an extension of the other object, it's something that's sitting on your hand, being mafsik between your hand and the object. So based on that parallel, the Gemara says that there's a requirement that the Kohen be in direct contact with the floor that is Mikadesh, because that's what facilitates Lamod Ula Sharet. So just like by the Klei Sharet, whether you think that's Big Deguna, whether you think that's Klei Sharet, you can't have anything be Mafsik. That's what renders the Dusha, the direct contact. So to direct contact with the floor is Mikadesh, and allows the person lamod l'sharet, and therefore their feet have to be directly in contact with the floor of the mikdash. Then the Gemara goes on to say, v'tzricha, that we need all of these cases, in the order, at least that they're written in the Mishnah, which is kelim, behema, and then adam. Diashmenon kli, had it just mentioned that you're standing on a utensil, rishum delav minav de basar ninu, because it's not flesh, it is not the material of man, it is another material separating between you and the floor. Al behema zemina de basaru, but maybe if you were standing on an animal, it would be okay, because there you're talking about flesh and flesh. Maybe that's not considered to be a chatzitza. Emelo, maybe that would be fine. Viashmin and behema de la mina da adamu. You just told me at a behema, I would think it's a hefsek or a chatzitza, because you're talking about an animal, not a man. Aval chabero, you're standing on his friend's feet, da adamu, emelo. Over there, maybe it wouldn't be a problem. Tzricha. That's why we need all three instances to tell you that none of these qualify. They're all considered to be a hefsek. Obviously, if you wrote Adam first, you would have known the other two as well. But it wrote it in a way, in the Mishnah, in a progressive manner, teaching you each item is another chiddush, which is kli, then basar behema, and then basar adam. And the truth is that this almost points to what we're going to see coming up in the Gemara, which is that the issue here is not simply chatzitza. Because if it was only about chatzitza, generally we say min b'mino is not chotzeitz. There are exceptions to that, or exceptions when we don't say min b'mino, but it's possible here that the problem is not just the problem of chatzitza, but also a problem of ein derech sherut b'kach. It's not the normal way to perform avodah, and the disqualification is not the chatzitza, but the fact that this is in a presentable way to service Hashem, and we'll see the Gemara is going to bring that concept when it discusses this in the next piece of the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Raglo Achat al Akli, Raglo Achat al Ritzpa. There's 1 foot on a utensil and 1 foot on the ground. One of his feet's on a stone that's not part of the flooring. And his other foot is on the ground, on the floor of the Ezara. We look at the situation. If you took away the kli, or you took away that stone that had one of his feet on it, would he remain standing on the other foot that is on the ground? Then he'd be able to do his avodah. In that case, it's not problematic. If that's not the case, then his avodah is problematic. This is akin to what we saw before with regards to the washing of Yadayim Raglayim, where his friend was holding him up. And we said over there that when you are being propped up by someone else or something else, the test to know whether you are standing on your own or you're using the other item is, if we pull away the other item, can you still remain standing? If you can still remain standing, that means that the other item was simply helping you, but was not causing you to stand up. And then you're considered to be standing. Similarly over here, if you could stand after pulling away the kli or that utensil from under the other foot, you don't go toppling over when you pull it away, then you're standing on the ritzpah tazarah, because your other foot's on the ritzpah. That means that's bearing the majority of the weight and the balance is on that other foot. If, on the other hand, when you pull it away, the guy goes falling down, is no longer standing, that's an indication that the real support is coming from this kli or this stone that's sitting there, and that'd be a problematic in terms of the avodah imlav. And that's why, if it's not that he's able to stand without it, avodah psula, then his avodah is disqualified. By Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami questioned the following. Nil dal dalaha evin ve'amad aleha. One of the stones became loose in the azara, and then he's standing on it. So you stand on it, you know, it's rocking back and forth. When it's lost some of its attachment to the ground, it's loosened up. So he's standing on it. Mao, what's the din? If he has no intent of re-cementing it or re-affixing it there, loti bailach, then there's no question. That's definitely a chatzitza, because you're not intending to re-affix this to the floor, to make it part and parcel of the floor. You're going to leave it loose. Loose already, it's not part of the floor, and therefore it'll be a chatzitza. The other end, the question will come up, if he intends in the future to affix or cement this back into the ground. My, given the datu l'chabra commanded mechabre damyo, since its intent is to reaffix it and to make it more solid within the floor, it's as if it's already part of the floor. Odelma hashtamia hatlisha, or do we say right now, the current state of this stone is that it's separated away from the floor, it's detached from the floor, and that's considered to be a chatzitza. Rabba zuti baylo hochi. Rabbi Zuta had a different version of Rabbi Ami's question, which was, by Rabbi Ami, nekra evin va'amad bimkoma. If he pulls the stone out, or the stone came out of the area where it was sitting, and then he places himself in that area instead, mahu, what is the din? So here you have the floor of the Azara is a stone tiled floor, and then one of those stones was taken out, so there is dirt underneath it. You stand on that dirt, are you considered to be standing on the floor of the Azara? Or is that already not considered to be something that is Kadosh? Mai kami baile. What is the question? So here is the assumption of the Gemara. Ki Kadosh David Ritzpa Elyona Kadosh. When David was Mekadesh, the floor of the Azara, he was Mekadesh, the upper layer, meaning the stone floor. Adilma Ad Arit, the Dahoma Kadosh. Or is he Mekadesh, anything down to the depths? So is it everything below this point is considered to be Kadosh B'Ritzpat HaZara? Or is it simply the upper layer is considered to be Kadosh B'Ritzpat HaZara? This is what Rashi pointed out, that the Gemara here assumes that David was Mekadesh the Ritzpat HaZara. That's number one. And number two is that the Ritzpat HaZara was Kadosh. The Gemara doesn't bring any proof to it, but it's an assumption clearly in the part before the Gemara. But here the Gemara says it explicitly, Ki Kadosh David Ritzpat. When he was Mekadesh, how did he do it? The Gemara says, V'tarbilei kol azara kula. Why are you asking about a specific stone being pulled out? What happens if you pull all the stones out and you stand on the floor? What's the din there? This is not a din in particular to one stone being pulled out. This is a general question as to whether the only upper layer Kadosh or is even the layer below it Kadosh. The Gemara says, Olam shitalei da'ad arod da'toma kodesh. He's clear about the fact that it is Kadosh all the way down to the depths. So there is no question. I mean, it makes sense to do that, because then No matter what happens to the flooring, how high the mikdash is, whether it's destroyed or not destroyed, the kedusha will remain. So the real question is, derech shirut b'kach or in derech shiruch b'kach? Is this considered to be the normal way to serve before Hashem? Or is it, we say, ain't derech shirut b'kach? This is not the normal way to serve before Hashem. You don't go stand on the dirt and standing before Hashem. Meaning that if you have this stone pulled out, is it enough that you go stand on the dirt? Now, if the whole area was not stoned or tiled with stone, then that would be the base of the Mikdash. It would make sense that you could worship, you could do that, because then there would be nothing differentiated. Problem here is that if one of the stones was pulled out, and then you go stand in that dirt area, is that considered to be lav orach ara? That's the way Rashi terms it. Is it just not derech eretz? Is it not the normal way to perform shirut? It's very interesting. This is the third time already in this Masechta that Rashi already said that something was lav orach ara. Said before, it's not orach ara to shecht in the heichal. It's not orach ara to shecht so close to the heichal, you would shecht further away. Here, lav orach ara to do shirut this way. You see something important from here, which is derech eretz is incorporated in the halachic construct, which is that when it's improper, it's also improper halachically. It's not just improper in terms of etiquette, it's just not the way that one would approach Hashem, and that has impact over here in the halacha. I think it's an interesting note, because it's a big Musar Haskel, in general, when we perform mitzvot, that derech eretz is an integral part of how mitzvot and how service before Hashem is performed, and it's important enough that it can disqualify avodah here. The Gemara is at least entertaining it over here, it leaves it as a teiku, unresolved. But in the previous two cases, the Gemara bound the halacha based on derech eretz. Now the Gemara moves on and says the next disqualifying item that was mentioned in the Mishnah was kibel b'smol. He did a kabbalat adam with his left hand. Pasul, that's problematic. Rabbi Shimon makshir. Elan, Rabbi Shimon says it's fine, so we have to discuss both opinions over here. So the question that revolves here is why are you disqualified, or why is it invalid avoda if you do a b'smol? There is some discussion amongst the Achronim as to what the psul of small is. Is the psul of small the lack of doing it by yamin? Meaning that you fail to do it with your right hand. That's why small is psul. Or is small an inherent psul, similar to that of a tamei or mechuser begadim, which is that he did it improperly, or he did it like as if a zar did it. And obviously this will be nafkaminot, including the as to whether the avoda is mechulelet by him doing it with his left hand. It does left hand mean just was absent of right? Or does it mean it's mechulal because it's if a zar or a tamei did the avoda? And then for Rabbi Shimon, why is that not a problem at all? Sutan Rabbanan, be'etzba belakach. Says by the chatat that be'etzba belakach, I'll read you the pasuk, because the pasuk has a modifier in it. And the Gemara's question is, what is it modifying within the pasuk? And that is, belakach. Hakohen midam chatat be'etzba'o v'natan al karnot mizbach ha'olah v'damo yishpok yisod mizbach ha'olah. So you have two verbs in the pasuk, v'lakach, which is at the beginning of the pasuk, and then afterwards you have v'natan. So the question is, be'etzba'o, what is that modifying? Is be'etzba'o modifying v'lakach hakohen midam chatat? And the lakach over here needs to be kabbalat adam, because he's taking the dam in order to do the sprinkling of the dam. The only way he could take the dam is through Kabbalat Adam. Then, benatan al kornot mizbach olah, then you sprinkle it onto the kornot. That's done with your finger, supposedly, because it says be'etzba'o. So that's the Gemara's question, is that be'etzba'o in the middle of the pasuk, is it modifying lakach? Is it modifying benatan? Or is it modifying both of them? And that will determine partly how the halacha turns out over here. So that's what the Gemara brings in brayta, be'etzba'o v'lakach, melameid, shalot de kabbalah elo b'yamin. You can only do kabbalat adam with your right hand. Be'etzva v'natan. L'mech lo dey netina elu b'yamin. That teaches also that the netina adam, the matno dam on the mizbeach, have to be done with your right hand. Now, so far the Gemara brings no evidence as to why that is true by etzva. Just because it mentions etzva, how do you know that is yamin? So there are different possibilities, which we'll see in the Gemara. One possibility is that whenever the Gemara brings you a generic term, yad, regel, etzva, all of those you assume will be the right side, because the predominant hand and majority of people are righties. So if the Torah gives you a term without defining it, you're going to assume that it's bound by the majority. And then etzba, yad, and regel means the right side. So that'd be one way to learn it. The other way to learn it is it's a gzera shova to mitzora. And we're going to see this later on. By Mitzora, Tarata Mitzora, in Parshat Mitzora, there are actually two ways to be Mitara the Mitzora, because it's a Korban Ole Vioreid. That means that there's a process for an Ani, and it's a process for the Ashir. Depending on how wealthy you are, determines which Korbanot that you're going to bring for the Tarata Mitzora, whether you bring three behemoth, or you bring a behemoth on two birds. That's determined by the economic standing of the individual. There in Mitzora, surprisingly so, it repeats the Parsha twice in all detail. It goes through the first one, and then it goes through the second one, and each time it gives you everything all over again. In that process, by the Tarata Mitzora, it says that the Kohen will place the Dam, Al Ozin HaMeter Yemanit, Ba'al Boin Yadoa Yemanit, Ba'al Boin Ragloa Yemanit. Over there it says that you must place the Dam on the right ear of the person who being gaining Tara, his right thumb and his right big toe. So all of those then become a paradigm because they are extraneous. They were repeated there for no reason. You could have just said, you do to the Mitzora the way that you just described before. Just because they're different korbanot doesn't change anything about the process. You could have just said b'chein. But it does. The fact that it repeated it makes it extraneous. And that leads us to Gzer Shova, which teaches us anytime you have those words that are used, then those words mean yamin. So both of those are going to have impact throughout the sugya over here. In addition to the fact that over there, it says that the Kohen, by the Tarata Mitzora, Lakach HaKohen Midam HaSham, Natan HaKohen Al Tnuch Ozen HaMitar Yemenit, V'abon Yado Yemenit, V'abon Raglo Yemenit, Lakach HaKohen Milog HaShemen, V'yatzak Al Kaf HaKohen HaSmolit, he will put it in his left hand, Tabal HaKohen Et Etzba'o HaYemenit, and then he'll put his right finger in this Shemen, Shalkabah HaSmolit, V'izah, Min HaShemen V'etzbo Sheva Pamim L'Kne HaShem. So here you see that there is usage of right by four different nouns that are used. Etzpa, Yad, Regel, and Ozen. And we're going to see that they have impact. But that is paradigmatic words because of the extraneous nature. And therefore we learn from them. One of those two reasons over here, the word Etzpa means Yamin. Once we know it means Yamin, does it modify both parts of the Pasuk? And the Chachamim or the Tanakhama say yes. Both Lakach, which is Kabbalah, and the Natan, which is the Nitina, they require Yamin. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Chin Emra Yad B'Kabbalah. Where do you see the word Yad mentioned over here? Ela B'Etzbo V'Natan. Rather, it says Etzbo, and then you have to place it on the Mizbech. Shlotei Nitina, Ela B'Yamin. Teaches you that you have to do the Nitina Tam with your right hand. Hol V'Lo Nemra Yad B'Kabbalah, Tibel B'Smo Kasher. But since it doesn't mention the word Yad, by Kabbalah Tadam, therefore you can use your left hand. Rabbi Shimon's statement is somewhat cryptic. Because first of all, he brings up the word Yad, which isn't mentioned in the Pasuk. Well, if the word Yad isn't mentioned in the Pasuk, then why does Etzpah help you? And if Etzpah is helpful, then why does it help you with both of them? So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Shimon Mimonovshach. What's Rabbi Shimon saying? If he does have Zereshava from Mitzora, then Kilo Nemra Yad by Kabbalah, my hobby. Just because it doesn't mention the word Yad by Kabbalah Tadam, why does it matter? If he doesn't have the Gzeret Shavah, Kinemer Yad B'Kabbalah, my hobby, then what does it matter if the word Yad did appear over here? So first of all, if he has the Gzeret Shavah, why does it matter whether there's Yad mentioned or Yitzpa mentioned, the Gzeret Shavah should work? If he doesn't have the Gzeret Shavah, even if the word Yad was mentioned, it wouldn't matter at all. So what is he saying? So now we have a number of Amoraim trying to interpret what Rabbi Shimon said. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Lo'olam Leit Leit Gzeret Shavah. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Gzeret Shavah from Mitzora. Balchi Kamar. V'chi Nemar Yad Yamin B'Kabbalah. Does it say Yad Yamin? Does it anywhere say that you have to use your right hand by Kabbalah Tadam? Hovlo Nemar Yad Yamin B'Kabbalah. Kibel B'Smol Kasher. So since that's absent by the case of Kabbalah, that's why you don't have to do it with your right hand. Samalei Rabbah. Yochi Yafil Nitina Nami. He says, according to your logic, then, why does Nitina Tadam require a right hand? The word Yad is not mentioned there either. Or Yad Yamin is not mentioned there. Etzba Yamin is not mentioned there. Nothing's mentioned there. Behold, lately the Rabbi Shimon Gzeret Shavah. Are you so certain that Rabbi Shimon doesn't learn his Gzeret Shavah from Mitzora? Vatanya, we have a bright the Rabbi Shimon Amer Kol Makom Shneimer Yad Einu Ela Yamin. Anytime the Torah uses the word Yad, it means the right side. Etzba, the word Etzba also Einu Ela Yamin. You see that Rabbi Shimon, the only way you could get that is from the fact that he has the Gzer Shava to Yad and Gzer Shava to Etzba. That shows you that he does have this Gzer Shava. Elohomer Rova, so now Rova gives the second approach to explaining Rabbi Shimon's sheet. Then he says, Olam Itle Gzer Shava. He holds the Gzer Shava from Mitzora. Does the word yad appear by the Kabbalah? It doesn't mention yad, but only a finger. And you can't do Kabbalah Tadam with a single finger. So kibo b'small, kasher. Therefore, if you view Kabbalah b'small, it's okay. What Rabbi Shimon says, the word etzpa in the pasuk means yamin, means the right side. The problem is that you have two verbs in the pasuk. Lakach means Kabbalah Tadam, and Natan is Netinat Adam. Netinat Adam can't be done with a single finger. You dip your finger in, and then you sprinkle it on the mizbeach. That works. Kabbalah Tadam, you can't capture the dam in a single finger. First of all, you have to capture all the dam that's coming out, and also you will not have sufficient dam to do the netinot on the mizbeach. So netina, Kabbalat Adam is just not functional, it's not practical to do it with the single finger, and that's why you can do it with your left hand, because the Torah can't be demanding right if it just says the word etzbo. So I'm a layer of Sama, breather of Ashi, the Ravina, Efshar David, lay ozen, the Sfat, Mizrak, Omekabelba. Who said you can't do Kabbalat Adam with a single finger? All you have to do is put a handle on the side of the utensil that you do the Kabbalat Adam with. You put in one of those little holes on the side. You stick your finger in it, like you see in the clay cheres, the earthenware vessels that they make today. Are you fine? They had a little finger hole on the side. Stick your finger in that. You can do the Kabbalat Adam with a single finger. So what do you mean you can't do Kabbalat Adam? El Amar Abaye. So Abaye gives us another way to explain Rabbi Shimon, and this seems to be the way the Gemara concludes. B'mikra nidrash lefanav ul'acharav kamiflegei. It is about interpretation of the pasuk, the grammatical way to read a pasuk. When you have a word like etzbo that is situated between two verbs, what do you do with that word? So mikra nidrash lefanav ul'acharav kamiflegei. They argue about whether you are dorish the pasuk beforehand or afterwards. And Rabbi Shimon believes that a midrash is le'acharav v'lo lefanav. When you have the word etzba'o in the pasuk, it only references to the verb afterwards, does not reference to the verb beforehand. So lakach is not modified by etzba'o, but v'natan is modified by etzba'o. And obviously the chachamim believe that it's nidresh lefanav ul'acharav. They hold that it's nidresh in both directions. Therefore it affects the kabbalat adam, and also affects the nitzinat adam. Amrabai, Haidu Rabbi Lazim, Rabbi Shimon, Mafkame da Abua, Mafkame da Rabbanat. This braita that brings the sheet of Rabbi Lazim, Rabbi Shimon, which we're going to see in 1 second, is against the position of his father. It's also against the position of the Rabbanat. So we just said his father believes that it's Nidrash Lacharav. The word is modifying that which comes afterwards, not which comes before. The Chamim say it modifies both before and afterwards. Now Rabbi Lazim, Rabbi Shimon says, the Tani, Rabbi Lazim, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koma kom shenemar etzba b'kabbalah. Any place where it says etzba by the Kabbalah, shina b'kabbalah, pasul. Then when you change doing the Kabbalah, not with your right hand, not with the proper way, it's going to be pasul. B'nitina, on the other hand, when it has the etzba by the nitina, kasher. B'koma kom shenemar etzba b'nitina. And the other way around, anytime you have the word etzba by nitina, shina b'nitina pasul. If you changed without which needs to be done with the nitinat pasul, the Kabbalah, kasher. And then the Kabbalat Adam is kasher. So he says, if etzba is written by Kabbalat Adam, it's me'akev, the Kabbalat Adam, and has to be done with your right hand. If the etzba is written by the nitinat Adam, then it's me'akev, the nitinat Adam. But it doesn't apply to both. It only applies to one or the other. V'heicha ne'mar etzba b'nitina. What's an example of a case where there's etzba minitina? This is Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon, and Ishita. Where's an example of that? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says by the Miluim, in Shmot Kaftet, V'lakachta midam apar, V'natata al karnota mizbeach, Be'etzba echa, V'etzkol adam tishpoch, Ha'yusara mizbeach. So again here, V'lakachta midam apar is the Kabbalat Adam. Then it says, V'natata al karnota mizbeach, Be'etzba echa, that was your finger. So there it's clear that the etzba is modifying the nitina, and that's an example where it's modifying nitina and not modifying the lakakta, the Kabbalat Adam. Savar, and he believes, mikra nidrash lifanav, that the pasuk references that which is before it, but lo lifnefanav, not something that is 2 stages away from it, below lacharav, and not something that is afterwards. And therefore over here, it says, "Lakach midam apar natata kornota mizbeach be'etzba echa." So the goes on the lefanav, the natata al kornota mizbeach. So nitzina is modified by the etzba echa. So The lakachta, which comes two stages before that, it's two verbs before that, not governed by this, and not lacharav. It doesn't go on anything that's found afterwards, which is kol adom tish lisodim izbeach. That doesn't affect it, or lakachta kol achelib, which is afterwards. That's not affected by the pasuk. So that's against his father, because his father, Rabbi Shimon, says, etz ba'o that we saw before only modifies the word afterwards. Doesn't modify the word beforehand. So here, Rabbi Shimon says it only affects the one before, not afterwards. His father says just the opposite. It only affects the word afterwards, not the one before. It's not like the Chachamim, because the Chachamim believe that it affects both before and afterwards. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says it only affects before, it doesn't affect afterwards. That's what Abaye says, that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's view is at odds with his father, and also at odds with the Chachamim. Okay, now, Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Komakom shenimar etzva v'kuna in ele yamin. Anytime you have the word etzva, and you have a requirement of Kohen as well, that means you must use the right hand. Because salka datchen, tarte be'inan. We would assume from here that you need both of them in order for this to be true. Kidichtiv, and the example that is brought is that which we saw before from the chatat, which is vakach ha-kohen, vidama chatat be'etzpo'o, natano konot ha-mizbach ha-olah, v'etamo ishpoch el-yisun mizbach ha-olah. So there in the pasuk you have vakach ha-kohen, and you also have etzpo'o. Both of them appear in the pasuk. So seemingly you would require both things, the etzba and the kohen, in order to get you to be yamin. But yalif mi mitzora, and you learn it out of the mitzora, the yachtiv tabala kohen etzba o hayimanit. That's the pasuk that we quoted before with the shemen, that he's going to dip his right finger into the shemen that's in his left hand. But there you see in the pasuk, it says tabala kohen et etzba o, kohen and etzba. So that would be the concept, that since by mitzora it appears kohen and etzba, anytime you have a replication of that, Kohen and Etzba, it would mean Yamin, because by the Mitzora, it's defined as being the right side. Vare Kmitza. What are you going to do about the fact that Kmitza Temincha, Delokti Ba Ele Kihuna? That there, the Pasuk only mentions Kihuna, it doesn't mention Etzba or Yad at all. So now your absent from there is one of the two words you would need in order to demand that it be done with your right hand. Yet the Mishnah says in Menachot, Vitznan, Kamatz, Bismol, Pasul. You take off a kamitza with your left hand, it is Pasul. So where do they get the fact that you can't use your right? If according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time you have to use your right hand is when you have both Etzpa and Kihuna, or Yad and Kihuna. Over here by kamitza, it only mentions Kihuna. How do you know that it has to be done with your right hand? And the Mishnah explicitly says that it has to be done with your right hand. Eloma Rova, O etzba, o kihuna. So Rava says, what Rabbi Yochanan meant is you need one of the two. If you have etzba or you have kihuna, either one of them by themselves is sufficient to demand the right hand. Amar le Abaye, Abaye says, Ari olachat evarim the kevesh. When you move the evarim to the ramp, once you've cut the animal up and flayed it, and you're moving the evarim onto the mizbeach, to the ramp of the mizbeach, in order to bring it up and to be makdirit, tichtibu o kihuna. Over there, the word Kohen is mentioned. Dichtiv, as we saw many times, in the opening Ola of Sefer Vayikra, it says, V'ikriva Kohen et hakol, v'ikdira mizbecha, that the Kohen will bring it all and put it on the mizbeach, v'amamar. And we said, what does that mean, v'ikriv? That ikriv is not Kabbalat Adam. That ikriv is actually hakrava, bringing it closer, bringing it into the position where it can be put on the mizbeach. That zoe olachat evarim lekevesh. That's a reference to moving the limbs to the ramp. Vitznan, haregel sheyamin bismalo, beit ora lachutz. And it says there, when he carries the parts of the ola to put them on mizbeach, it speaks about the flaying of the animal, and then the cutting of the animal, the tachim into pieces. And then there were a number of kohanim involved in the process of bringing those pieces to the mizbeach, to put them on mizbeach. The first kohen has in his right hand the head of the animal. In his left hand, he has the right leg of the animal. Those are the first two things that go on the mizbeach. The head, and then the leg. The head is in his right hand, the leg is in his left hand. So you see over here, haregel sheyamin bismalo, ubei dora lachutz. And the hoof is towards the outside, or in essence, the cut it side is in towards the kohen. Again, so that's a more respectful way to carry it, so that you cover up where the chituch was, where the cut was, and then you present it as if it's closed on the outside. But here you see that he's doing the avoda of moving the evarim towards the mizbeach in his left hand. So the Gemara says, Ki amrinan oes vokuna b'davar makev kapara dumya dimitzora. When you say that etz barakuna is a defining term, that means that you must use your right hand. That's only in processes that are me'akev b'kapara, that are essential to attaining the kapara. And similar to the way the mitzorah has it, that they are mentioned in the processes of the mitzorah that are me'akev the kapara of the mitzorah. Here, by holachat evarim the mizbeach, it's not me'akev the kapara. The refrain that we've said over many times is, if the emorim themselves never end up in the mizbeach, it's not me'akev the kapara, then any avodah in bringing them to the mizbeach certainly can't be me'akev kapara, or has no relevance in terms of ikub kapara. Now, if you say that the reason here that holachat evarim the kevesh is not me'akev is because the Rashi says over here, which is the fact that emurim are not me'akev the kapara, so certainly the holachat emurim or evarim cannot be me'akev the kapara. On the other hand, you could argue that the reason that it's not me'akev the kapara is because it's not necessary. It's a dispensable type of thing, which as Rashi says actually in Menachot, which is that you could do the shechita right next to the mizbeach, do the hefshed and nituach there, and then take the evarim up without doing any holacha. And that means that the holacha is a dispensable item, and that's why it's not me'akev the kapara over here. The nafkamina here will be with regards to kabbalat adam. Is small posel by kabbalat adam. If you believe the problem here is because it's not me'akev kapara, that's why it doesn't matter by the holacha they read the kevesh, then by holacha it is me'akev the kapara, because you need to get the dam there, and if you have to do holacha, it's me'akev kapara, and you would require yamin. The other hand, if you say that holacha can be dispensed with, and that's the reason here by evarim, that it is okay to do it with small, then that would have the same application by dam, which is also dispensable, and therefore maybe small would be kasher. That goes back to the machloket rishonim we saw before, as the reason behind the chachamim. Do they agree that it is a dispensable avodah? Do they just deem it an avodah, or they think it's an indispensable avodah? So that will also be within the category of suggesting that Kabbalat Adam is dispensable. You'd have to then go back and decide whether that's true or not based on those Rishonim. And that again would be a nafkamina as to whether Halachat Adam can be done this small. And another nafkamina might also be about Haktara, whether Haktara can be done this small. If you think that the issue is that it's not Ma'akev the Kapara, it's not something essential to the Kapara, then Haktara again, similar to anything with the Emurim or the Nitachim, they're not ma'akev the kapara, and therefore haktara b'smol would be kasher b'diavad. On the other hand, if you believe that it has to do with whether it's a dispensable avodah, over here haktara is not dispensable. As long as the evarim and the emurim are here, there is a mitzvah to get them on the mizbeach, and that's what you're supposed to do the haktara, then you could argue there that it must be done with your right hand, because it is not a dispensable avodah. It is something that we would, as long as it's possible, do for the korban. And in that case, you would believe that it does need yamin in that instance. Mar says, Baha Kabbalah, Tichtibu Kuna. When it comes to Kabbalat Adam, the word Kuain is mentioned over there. Davar HaMe'akev B'Kaparahu. It's also something that is essential to the Kapara. It's one of the four avodot that you need in order to process the animal. We do have a machloket about Holacha. With regards to Shechita, Kabbalah, and Zrikah, everybody agrees those are me'akev the kapara, and they must be done. So here you have me'akev kapara, plus the word kohen, which would indicate that you have to do it with your right hand. Vitzan, in our Mishnah says, kibel b'smol pasul Rabbi Shimon makshir. That works well for the Tanakamu, who says that if you do a kabbalah b'smol, it's no good, because you have kohen mentioned by the kabbalat adam. The problem is for Rabbi Shimon, who says that, no problem, you can do kabbalat adam with your left hand. Rabbi Shimon, tarte boi. Rabbi Shimon needs both of them. So far, what the Gemara is now suggesting is the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon is whether you require both Kohen and Etzba, or Kohen and Yad, in all these circumstances, or is one of the two words sufficient? According to the Chachamim, either one of the words is sufficient. If it's in an area that's Ma'akev Kapara, there'll be a demand for Yamin. On the other hand, for Rabbi Shimon, you'll need both Yad and Kohen, or both Etzba and Kohen, to teach you that it be Yamin. If you only have one, it won't be sufficient. And that's why by Kabbalat Adam, where Kohen is mentioned, but nothing else is mentioned, there we would say that for the Chachamim, that's enough to make it Yamin. For Rabbi Shimon, that's not enough. It says, Mi bai Rabbi Shimon tarte? Does Rabbi Shimon really require both Kohen and Etzba, or Yad and Kohen? Vatanya, Rabbi Shimon omer, kol makom shenemar Yad, einu el Yamin. Anytime the Torah uses the term Yad, it means the right side. Etzba, einu el Yamin. So that's what break that we brought before to prove that Rabbi Shimon holds the Gzeirah Shavah from Mitzorah. So here you see that he believes that Yamin is essential, and he doesn't say you need the word Kohen. He says the word Etzpah, the word Yad. All of those mean Yamin, mean the right side. So Gemara says, Etzpah lo bayi kuhuna, kuhuna bayi Etzpah. If you have the word Etzpah there, or the word Yad there, you don't need the word Kohen. Now then, if you do have the word Kohen there, you still need Etzpah, you still need Yad. That's a convoluted way to say that the only thing that matters is Etzpah and Yad. Because whether you write Kohen or not, it's not Malev but Morit. Because if it's there, it doesn't help you. If it's not there, it doesn't hurt you. So the only thing you really need is Etzpah. So in the end, what we're saying is Rabbi Shimon thinks you only need one thing. You need Etzpah or you need Yad, and that's sufficient. But unlike the Chachamim, who believe that even the word Kohen would be sufficient, he doesn't think the word Kohen is sufficient. So then, Bela Kohen Lamali, then why do you need the word Kohen to be mentioned at all? If it's Enam Alev, Enam Morit, it doesn't tell you anything, then why do you need the word Kohen to appear at all? Again, by Kabbalat Adam, you have the word Kohen there, no Etzpah, no Yad, so that's why you can do it with your left hand. Other places where you have Etzpah and Yad that are mentioned, then why do you need the word Kohen? It's not helping you in that situation. So there, Bikihunan tells you that they must be Bikihunan. That's similar to the refrain that we had before, which is the Bigdei Kuhuna. Bizmach Bigdei Malayam, Kunatam Malayam. Bizmachayim Bigdei Malayam, Ein Kuhunatam Malayam, meaning that when they're in uniform, they're called Kohenim. The word Kohen that appears there says they must be a Kohen in service. Kohen in service requires that the Kohen be dressed to be in service. If he's not a Kohen in service, then he's not a Kohen anymore. And that's what it means, Bikihunam. So that's the necessity for the word Kohen. Bari Zrika, Talokta Behu, Ela Kihuna. What about Zrikat Adam, which only has the word Kuhuna that appears there? There is no mention of Etzba or Yad with regard to Zrikat Adam. Here we're not speaking about the Chatat. There the Chatat mentions Etzba. But by Zrikat Adam, we don't have any mention of Yad or Etzba. It's not. Zarak Bismol Pasol. And we have a Mishnah that says, if you do Zrikat with your left hand, it is Pasol. Below Polig Rabbi Shimon. And we don't find that Rabbi Shimon disagrees whatsoever. Amar Abaye Polig Bebraita. We actually have a Braita where Rabbi Shimon does indicate he argues even by Zrikat Adam. Titanya, Bebraita. Kibel Bismol Pasol. You do Kabbalat Adam on your left hand, Pasol, according to the Tanakam of the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Machshir, similar to our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon says it's not a problem with the left hand. Zarak Bismol, you do Zrikat Adam into your left hand, Pasul. Again, Tanakama Chachamim say it's Pasul. Here we have Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Unlike our Mishnah, over here we have Rabbi Shimon explicitly saying that he disagrees and says that even if you do Zrikat Adam with your left hand, it's still Kasher. And Rashi over here makes a comment and says, Rabbi Shimon Machshir, the Braita that says Rabbi Shimon's Machshir Zrikat Adam, that is only true, Ashar Kol HaZvachim, another korbanot. The Lok Tibuhu Etzpa, El V'Zarkua Kohanim, it just says V'Zarkua Adonim at the most. But by a Zikat Chatat, Moder Rabbi Shimon, Zikat Chatat, or the Netinat Etzpa, the Matnot Dam of the Chatat, Rabbi Shimon agrees that that is problematic because he learns the word Etzba'o as modifying the word V'Natan. And through that, you know that it is impactful in terms of the demand for it being only with the right side. So Rashi differentiates between Zrikat Adam in general and the Matnot Dam of the Chatat. Matnot Dam of the Chatat have Etzpa, so it will be a requirement of Yamin. The Zrikat Adam, found the other Korbanot, has a demand for Kohen, but doesn't mention the word Etzpa or Yad. And therefore, Kohen is not sufficient to make it that you have to do it with your right hand. And Rabbi Shimon would agree, it could even be done with the left hand. So you can see over here, there's a massive Tosafot that tries to deal with this question of Tosafot says, well, if you read it this way, the way Rashi reads it, that means that the Gemara at first brought our Mishnah, which indicates that Rabbi Shimon doesn't disagree, and Zrika is Pasul, and that means it's Pasul not only by Chatat, but it's Pasul by all Korbanot. And then we bring the Braita and say it's Pasul, that's only by other Korbanot, but by the Chatat, it would still require Yamin. It says, V'hiksha Rav Yaakov Mirlins, my Kushya. But my colleague Rabbi Shimon Bebraita, why does Rabbi Shimon disagree in the Braita? Nehi delokot of Ela Kihuna. You're right, the word Kohen only appears by Zrikat Adam, Zavzakua Kohanim. Doesn't say Yah, doesn't say Etzba. Nevertheless, Torah. We had earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, that there's a Hekesh between all the Korbanot. At the end of Parshat Zav, Zota Torah, it lists all the Korbanot there. We said, well, what's true of one Korban is true of the other Korbanot. So why don't you use that hekesh and say the exact same thing here with regards to the chatat? If the chatat requires yamin for the matnot dam, so to the olah should require matnot dam and the zrika be done with the right hand. Then he brings an additional series of gemarot. We see that Rabbi Shimon definitely learns other korbanot from chatat. Veishiv lo Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam answered Rabbi Yaakov Meirlins in the following manner. Delo garsina and varei zrika, deinu mishnah b'ksumakom. The Gemara over here says, varei zrika. How could it be that zrika is only kasher with your right hand if you only have the word kohen there? That was the answer, the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara went on to say, eino chanami, Rabbi Shimon does argue by zrika as well. Rabbeinu Tam says, wrong girsa. Says, delo garsina and varei milika. The question here is milika and not zrika. V'mishnai l'kaman. It's a mishnah later on that if you do milika with your right hand, it's kasher. If you do it with your left hand, it's not kasher. And Rabbi Shimon is machshir by milika with your left hand. So then he says that would make sense then. The whole Gemara would make sense if you speak about milika. First of all, we already have evidence that Rabbi Shimon holds that way. Number two is, then you don't get into this problem of why isn't he learned from chatat about zrikat adam. Or how we see Rabbi Shimon thinks that you can learn from chatat. So now you solve that problem. It says, Vashash evio b'kotzer. The Vashash just gave a small quote from the Mishnah. Which contained derech hashash l'katzer become a Mishnayot. Because it usually gives you just a clip. It doesn't give you the whole thing. V'asofrim ta'u. The Sofrim made a big mistake. Because vu b'makom malika zrika. They confused zrika with malika. And they should have written down malika. Va'ofot lo atu v'hekesha. And then Oph doesn't have the Hekesh because the Korbanot that are mentioned in Zot HaTorah are all Korbanot Behema. And so therefore the Ophot don't have that Hekesh and you wouldn't know Yamin by an Oph. And then Rabbeinu Tam goes on to say, even if you have the Gersa that we have, maybe you can fix it this way. And then the Balei Tosafot bring down, wait a minute, we have a number of questions about this view of the Rabbeinu Tam because there are other seemingly explicit mentions where there is a requirement by Malika by Yamin, even for Rabbi Shimon. And then the Tosafot try to reconcile with that in different ways. And then they bring Mishnah after Mishnah, where you find opinions that seem to cause problems for all these different explanations. And then he says, Rabbeinu Shmuel, the Rashbam, that's the Rabbeinu Tam's older brother, Yashiv Girsat Asfarim. He says, keep the Girsa the way we have it. Foresh, Arez Rikad, Loktiv, Elakuna. Itanan, Zarak, Bismol, Pasal. Below Polige Rabbi Shimon. Suggesting is, he says, wait a minute, we never have a Mishnah that says Zrika b'smol is pasul. That's never found in the Mishnah. But what he says is, the Mishnah says, kol zvachim shikibel b'smol pasul. Any zevach where you do kabbat adam in your left hand, it's pasul. He says, you should have read that kol shekein zrika. Certainly that means Zrika as well. Rabbi Notam complained that there's no Mishnah that indicates that there's a requirement of Yamin in Zrika. That you would say that Rabbi Shimon didn't argue on it. I mean, that's one thing that Mishnah says, Zrika b'yamin, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue, you can say then he must agree. But if you have no Mishnah that says Zrika b'yamin, how can you say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue in a Mishnah? That was Rabbeinu Tam's problem, that we don't ever find a Mishnah that says you have to do Zrika b'yamin. The Rashbam, his brother, says, yes, you do. Because our Mishnah says, you do Kabbalat Adam b'smol, it's pasul. And from that, you have a kosher cane, or a kal v'chomer. You do, only do Kabbalat Adam with your right, certainly you have to do Zrika. The fact that Rabbi Shimon didn't respond to Zrika is an indication that he doesn't disagree. And then the Tosafot says, "Tzarchion umatzu defarish hachi lashon." It's a question whether you can explain the language in that way, whether you can really make such a deal and say that's what the Gemara was referencing to. In the bottom line, the Balei Tosafot say, "Benirli the time of the Rabbanan pasle small bekabala mishum dechtiv lakachwe midam sabri Rabbanan kuna lo bayi etzba." It comes down to the bottom line that the Chachamim don't think that Kuhuna requires Etzpa and Etzpa requires Kuhuna, whereas Rabbi Shimon requires both of them in order for it to be Yamin, and therefore when you're missing either one of them, it would be problematic, and that's why if it's Zrikat Adam, there is no requirement of Yamin for Rabbi Shimon, at least according to the Braita. Elahadamar Rova. So then the Din of Rova, who brought the Gzeir Shava from Mitzorah, where he says, Yad the Kmitza. The Gzeir Shavah from the word Yad that is found, Abo and Yodoa Yimanit, that's found by Mitzora, is a Gzeir Shavah to Kmitza. When you take the Kometz off of the Mincha, you also have to do it with your right hand because the word Yad appears there, even though the word Yad never appears there, but it says, Vayimale Kapo Mimena. It says that you have to take it in your hand. It uses the word Kapo instead of Yad, but that nevertheless, Rashi says, that is considered to be like yad, and that's yad yad the kamitza. Regel, regel, kalitza. Xereshava, learning a bo and ragloa yimanit, teaches you that the word regel that appears by chalitza, which is the fact that the eshesantai shoe of the choletz has to be done on his right foot or his right shoe. That's from regel regel. Ozen ozen, altsnuch ozenoa yimanit, that teaches you that the ozen by ritziah, for an Eved Ivri who wants to stay until the yovel, he has to get his ear pierced, that it's done on his ozen, it's done on his right ear. So lomali, why do you need it? Midrabba barbachana, napko. You can learn it out of Rabba Barbachana's din. So this goes back to the start of the piece here, which is Amar Barbachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that all you need is Kohen or Yad, Kohen or Etzba. Any one of those will be sufficient to tell you that you have to do your right hand. So by Kamitzat Amincha, it says Kapo. It already tells you that you have Yad there. That should have been enough to make it Yamin. Why do you need the Gzer Shoba Rabba to teach you Yad Yad, the Kamitzah? It's unnecessary. So Gemara says, Chad the Kometz, the Kiddush Kometz. One of them is for the actual taking of the Kamitza off, that it must be done with your right hand. Bechad, the Kiddush Kometz. Just after you've taken it off, you need to place it into a Kli Sharet. That Kli Sharet that you're placing it into must be in your right hand. So you have two different Limudim. One Limud from the word fact that it appears, the word Yad appears, or the word Kohen appears. That's enough to tell you that you need to use your right hand. And a second Limud comes from the Gzer Shava of Yad Yad, Mi Kmitza. If that's the case, in all likelihood, you would need two Kohanim, one to hold the Kli bit is right, and one to be Magdish the Komets, or place the Komets from his right hand into the Kli Sharet that's being held in the other Kohen's hand that is holding on his right hand. Well, the Rashi in Menachot says that the requirement for right is that you place it into the Kli Sharet with your right hand. So Menachot, Daf Yudam Bet, Rashi says that the necessity for Kiddush Komets, the Kli Sharet, that you do with your right hand. Over here, Rashi seems to indicate that the requirement is that you hold the Kli Sharet in your right hand, and therefore you have to move the Kometz to your left hand to place it into the Kli in your right hand. So the truth is that you might have to do it with two different Kohanim, one Kohen holding the Kli Sharet in his right hand, and the other one putting the Kometz with his right hand into the Kli Sharet. It really depends on what you think the avoda of Kiddush HaKometz is. Is it the one holding the Kli Sharet that creates the Kiddush HaKometz, or is it the one placing it in the Kli Sharet that creates the Kiddush HaKometz? And that would really determine whether the right hand is needed for the placement or for the one who is being in the receptacle holding the Kli Sharet. So now, Kiddush HaKometz, you're going to learn now from the fact that it's the word Kuhuna appears there, right hand, for one of them taking off the Kometz. And the Yad Yad, the Gzer Shava, will also teach you that the Kiddush HaKometz also requires that. Ula Rabbi Shimon de lo bai Kiddush Kometz. Rabbi Shimon does not require that you be Mekadesh the Kometz, meaning that it doesn't require that you place it into a Kli Sharet in order to finish up the abode of the Mincha. Ulaman da'amah Rabbi Shimon nam bai Kiddush Kometz, bismol akshurei makshir. So either way, according to Rabbi Shimon's opinion, machloket in the Gemara Menachot, so either according to the one who says that you don't need Kiddush Kometz, you don't even have to do it at all, or according to the one who says that, even according to Rabbi Shimon, you do require Kiddush Kometz, but he says you can do it with your left hand, Kli can be in your left hand. So either way, if Rabbi Shimon says you don't need Kiddush Kometz at all, you don't have to place it into a Kli at all, or if he believes you do have to place it into a Kli, but the Kli can be in your left hand, either way, then Yad Yad Deroba Lomali. What do you need the Zeresh Shavu for? So Gemara says, Ila Kmitza Atzma, what about the fact that you have to take out the Kmitza with your right hand? Rabbi Shimon requires that you need both Kuna and Yad. So maybe that's what's going on over here. That would be the reason that you need Kohen and Yad there, and that'd be the explanation for it. So, you don't need that, because we saw back on Daf Yud Aleph that Rabbi Shimon learns out when it says, Kachatat v'cha asham, that the mincha has similar to the chatat and the asham, to dam Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabbi Chia, my time in the Rabbi Shimon, dam akra. Pasuk says, Kodesh kodoshim hi, kachatat v'cha asham. The mincha is kodesh kodoshim, like the chatat and the asham. Bado obdabiyat, obdabiyamin. Kechatat. If you want to do the mincha like a chatat, you have permission. Go ahead and do it with your right hand. Because it's compared to a chatat. Just like a chatat has a requirement of right hand, so do the kometz will have a requirement of right hand. That means that you gotta take it out of the kli, do the kmitza with your right hand, take it up the mizbeach and put it on the mizbeach with your right hand. You don't have to do any kiddush kli, you just need to get it from the kometz that you take off to the mizbeach and be maktir it. But there you have to do the kmitza with your right hand because it's compared to a chatat. Balo obda b'kli, obda b'smol. Ki asham, you want to do it in a kli, you can do it in your left hand, Just like an asham is done, the kli, and it can be done with your left hand. So what you see from that is, Rabbi Shimon's source for the fact that you would have to do kmitza with your right hand is from the kachatat v'cha asham. That's where you know that you have to do it with your right hand. You have a choice. Once you do the kmitza with your right hand, if you want to continue with your right hand and take it up to Mizbech from a maktirik, go ahead. That's like the chatat. You want to put it into a kli sharet? Go ahead. Do that like you do with the asham. And just like by the asham, the kabbalat adam is done in your left hand, so too the kiddush kli by the kmitza can also be done in your left hand. We have a standard by kmitza that it must be done with your right hand. And if you want to continue on with your right hand, that's fine. Or if you want to go move over to a kli sharet, you can do it in your left hand. He has a whole other limud, kervam kechatat v'chasham. Now the word kohen is not extraneous for him, because that doesn't teach you anything. The real extraneous word now is kabo or yad. Why do you need the gzer shava yad yad to teach you kmitza by right hand? What is the reason for yad yad from Robo that teaches you that it must be yad yamin? Lo nitzrucha elo lekometz minchat chote. Now you need it for the person who's taking off a kmitza from a minchat choteh. That the reason that a person brings by a minchat choteh only the flour, he does not bring oil, he does not bring livona, which are enhancers of the mincha, and even though that means choteh niskar, if you do a sin and you're bringing a korban mincha for your sin, you actually bring a cheaper mincha because you don't bring oil and you don't bring livona with it. So it turns out when you sin, your mincha turns out to be cheaper. So why? We don't want the choteh ben iskar, so then why don't we require him to bring oil? Why don't we require him to bring levona? Because, shalo yeh karbano mehudar. So this korban is not a nice, pleasant korban. A minchat choteh is exactly that. It's for a chatat. It's for a chet. And if it's a chatat or a chet, we don't want it to be a pleasant type of thing. It's going to be a basic type of korban mincha. We're not going to enhance the mincha in any way. That consideration overrides the fact that the choteh is going to be niskar and bring a cheaper mincha in the end. So you would have thought also over here, ki kamatz lav small, namitid kasher. Taking off with your left hand also would be something that would be okay by minchat choteh. Because we don't want to enhance it. We don't want to make it the best it could be. And using your right hand, you could even do it with your left hand. Maybe that would be another manifestation of this idea that it's not mehudar, kamash malan, that we don't say that. And that's what Yad Yad comes to teach you, that despite the fact that we, in some ways, downplay the mincha of the choteh, nevertheless, there's still a requirement that you take off the kmitza with your right hand because of the gzer shava of yad yad le kmitza. Okay, we'll stop here by the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph.